In today's episode of Dietitians Only, we're leaning into weaning. Weaning a TPN patient, that is. So, how do you safely wean a TPN patient? What about fluid and micronutrient considerations? And we'll cover the step-by-step process to actually wean your patient. You're listening to Dietitians Only, a podcast from Dietitians on Demand, created by dietitians for dietitians. Sarah and Lindell, take it away.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to season 2 of Dietitians Only. In this episode, we're going to be discussing how to wean a TPN. TPN is consistently the topic that often gives dietitians pause or confusion. It's something that a lot of dietitians don't feel super comfortable with. So today we're going to tackle the weaning process for your patients who have been on TPN for a few days, maybe even a few weeks or a few months. And we're going to tell you the best way to wean them off and get them on a different type of nutrition regimen. My name is Sarah Glanz. I'm the corporate dietitian here at Dietitians on Demand, and I manage all of our continuing education resources that we offer dietitians. And with me today, I have Lindell Schuster. Lindell?
Yeah. Hey, Sarah. And thank you for that intro. I'm excited to learn more about this topic. I get this question quite often. So I am Lindell Schuster. I am the Director of Account Management here at Dietitians on Demand, and I am also a fellow RD.
Well, great. I'm glad to have you here. So let's start the episode by recalling the purpose of parenteral nutrition. And so in the world of our nutrition interventions, of course, we can offer an oral diet, oral nutrition supplementation. We also have enteral feeding, and then we have parenteral feeding. And most of the time, parenteral feeding is used as a last resort when we need to meet nutritional needs for a patient when enteral or oral feeding cannot be established or isn't tolerated or isn't feasible for some reason. And of course, we know that some patients receive parenteral nutrition long-term or sometimes even lifelong, but most don't. So most patients are only receiving TPN for a short time. And so we need a way to safely and efficiently transition them back to either oral or enteral feeding.
Okay. So yeah. So then what are some of the considerations when stopping a TPN?
So when you're stopping a TPN, again, we really want to do this in a safe manner. That's the number one concern is safety. So one of the major concerns when we're stopping a TPN is actually hypoglycemia or a low blood sugar. And so this is especially true when we have a sudden stopping of a parenteral nutrition regimen. So let's say the patient has to go down to surgery for some reason and the TPN is stopped without a lot of warning. Maybe the patient suddenly loses their IV access. And so again, it stopped suddenly without warning. So those types of situations, the patient is losing their source of continuous carbohydrates. And so if their body has grown accustomed to having that, or especially if we're dosing insulin based on the amount of carbohydrates that they're receiving in the TPN, then the patient can have a low blood sugar when that source of carbohydrate is suddenly stopped. So that's one of the major risks, and that's definitely a safety concern for a lot of patients. So we certainly want to keep that front of mind. Another consideration or something that you kind of need to have a plan in place, let's say that, you need to know what is going to replace parenteral nutrition. Like I said, most patients don't stay on TPN forever. So you need to have a plan as far as, is this patient going to transition to tube feeding? Or are they going to transition to an oral diet? And so if they're transitioning to an oral diet, you need to make sure that they can safely chew and swallow, of course. Then you need to get an idea of what percent of their nutritional needs they can realistically meet by mouth. So if you have a patient who's on TPN, you get them on an oral diet and they're just eating a few bites here and there, then you're kind of setting them up for failure. You know, they're not ready to fly on their own in that way. And then you might also consider whether a nutritional supplement is needed. And if so, is the patient agreeable to trying that? Are they willing to drink it? Because if they're not, then you're kind of losing an extra bonus source of calories that could really be beneficial. And then if the patient is transitioning to an enteral feeding regimen, you obviously need to have GI access. So does the patient have an OG tube, an NG tube, a PEG tube, a J tube? Is there some way that we can actually deliver the enteral feeding to the patient? Then you also need to know how much volume they can tolerate, and that you need to ensure that they're going to tolerate the enteral feeding regimen, period. So if they're only able to tolerate a very small amount, a very small volume, if they're having a lot of intolerance, they're having diarrhea, they're vomiting, et cetera, then we're not going to be able to meet their nutritional needs that way. So it's just like with an oral diet. If we get them off the TPN and they're not reliably meeting their nutritional needs, then we're sort of back where we started in a lot of ways. Another consideration is fluid needs. So a lot of times when patients are receiving TPN, they're not receiving any other sources of fluid. So you need to make sure when you stop that TPN that the patient will be able to either drink enough by mouth to meet their fluid needs, or that if they're going to resume an enteral feeding regimen, that you've got enough flushes and free water coming through the tube to meet their fluid needs. You certainly don't want them to get dehydrated once you stop that TPN. And if you feel like they might get dehydrated, you may need to consider starting some supplemental IV fluids. And then finally, last but not least, think about the electrolytes, your vitamins, your minerals. So in a lot of cases, TPN is going to provide the electrolyte needs, the vitamin and mineral needs. And so when that is stopped, again, you have to make sure that the patient can meet all those needs in some other way. So if they're going to a tube feeding regimen, then chances are the tube feeding regimen and the formula should be meeting all of their micronutrient needs. So really the concern is if they have higher than average vitamin and mineral needs, or maybe they have some sort of malabsorptive condition, like if they have a history of bariatric surgery and they are already more prone to having vitamin and mineral deficiencies, that would be a consideration. You know, you need to think through how you're going to supplement. And so think through, again, the best way to continue supplementation. So if they're able to take supplements by mouth, go for it. If you still need to consider and continue an IV multivitamin, that's certainly an option as well. So just think through what the patient can reasonably tolerate and what they're able to do on their own.
TPN 101 is one of the most popular webinars from the Elevate by Dietitians on Demand shop. This course is an easy-to-follow presentation that will immediately increase your TPN comfort level. Reviewers say the course has a thorough but easy-to-understand explanation and that they wish they had seen this course years ago. Plus, it's approved by CDR for CE credit. Find TPN 101 by visiting shop.dietitiansondemand.com and searching for the keyword TPN.
Yeah, all very valid points, and they all make perfect sense, but there are quite a bit of considerations. So, you know, can you tell us more about the steps that you would actually take to wean once you've thought through these considerations?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've worked in a lot of acute care facilities, and a lot of facilities don't really have a good protocol for weaning a TPN, which is surprising because that's a high-risk medication. And so, again, it gets back to that safety concern. So we want to make sure that we're doing it safely, and we're transitioning them to another nutrition regimen that we feel confident will be successful. So before you stop the TPN, before you decrease it, you turn it off, before you do anything, you definitely need to start that replacement nutrition regimen, whether it's enteral feeding or an oral diet. And we need to really give that the old college try for like at least 12 hours to make sure that's going to go well. So you're confirming that the patient is going to tolerate that. And you're also going to get an idea of what percentage of their nutritional needs they can realistically meet with either the tube feeding or the oral nutrition. So if they're only able to meet 10% of their nutritional needs or 20% of their nutritional needs, then they're not ready. They're not ready to fully stop the TPN. So what we can do in the meantime, as we, hence we're using, why we're using the word weaning and not stopping, but what we can do in the meantime is we can slowly taper that TPN. Either if you're using a pre-mixed product, you can taper the rate. And then if you're using a custom, like a custom 3-in-1 solution, you can start to reduce the amount of calories that's in the bag. And so depending on, you know, what you're using, you'll take either approach. And basically you are just customizing day by day. How much is the patient getting from either their enteral feeding or their oral diet? And then we're just going to make up the difference with the TPN. So that's essentially how it works. And so you're just going to continue that taper little by little or for as long as it needs. Sometimes you just need a couple days. Sometimes you may need a week to really get the patient fully off the TPN. So once the patient is reliably meeting about 50 to 75% of their nutritional needs, you know, either with enteral feeding or an oral diet, it's pretty safe and you can feel pretty confident in turning off that TPN. And so when you are ready to turn off the TPN, again, due to the, you know, safety concerns associated with hypoglycemia, you don't just want to boom, cut it off and turn off the pump and that's that. So what I would recommend is to do like a tapered rate. So let's say your TPN is infusing at 60 milliliters per hour. You're going to cut that maybe in half. So cut it down to 30, or you could even do like 2/3 of the rate, 1/3 of the rate, something like that. So you'll cut it in half, cut it in 2/3, cut it in 1/3, something like that. And you'll run it at that reduced rate for about 1 to 2 hours, and then you can turn it off. So that's a much, I guess you could say, gentler or safer way to go about it, because it's not just such a sudden drop off of the carbohydrate. It's more of like a gradual letdown. This isn't always necessary. If you have someone who's having no problems whatsoever with their blood glucose is extremely stable, yada, 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 it may not be totally necessary. But in general, that's going to be a safer option. And there's really no additional work or anything to do that. So that's what I would recommend. So that's kind of the process of weaning your TPN. So I hope that was helpful.
Yeah, Sarah, this was great. I think that you really gave a great, nice overview of what to consider and then what steps to take and also how to coach the others, that are involved in this, and the process going forward, because like you said, there's not a lot out there on this. So this is great. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And so we'll wrap it up for today. We do have some really good resources and references in the show notes. So if you want to check that out, we have some webinars that we've done on TPN that have been extremely popular with dietitians. So if you want to check those out, you can find links in the show notes. And otherwise, until next time, we are Sarah and Lindell. We're signing off.
Thanks, Sarah. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Dietitians Only, a podcast produced by Dietitians on Demand. If you need a break today, scroll over to the review section of the podcast and leave us one. Your feedback is the best way to help the podcast grow. Dietitians on Demand employs hundreds of dietitians nationwide and elevates the profession with simple yet effective practice resources, like this podcast. Don't forget to stay connected with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram.
The information on this podcast is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. All content is for general information purposes only. You are encouraged to confirm any information obtained from or through this podcast with other sources and review all information regarding any medical condition or treatment. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay seeking medical treatment because of something you heard in this podcast.